I'm Anna Rigby. I'm 58 years old and I've been blind from birth. I live in Chester, in a residential area, sort of just outside the town centre. And I live with my husband, Phil, who's also blind.
Now, you moved to the UK some years ago, didn't you, from Germany? Tell us about that, why you moved and everything else.
I studied in Hamburg. I went to school and studied in Hamburg and studied English and teaching. And I was always quite Anglophile and sort of made friends in the UK, and I needed to improve my language skills. So I did a term in Glasgow, of all places, and sort of fell in love with the country and thought I wanted to spend some time in the UK after I finished my studies, because I didn't really fancy going down the route of the spending the rest of my or my whole working life as a teacher in a school. So I kind of thought, well, I'll just sort of go away. And I had this idealistic view that I could find myself a job for a couple of years in the UK and then maybe come back and sort of get into teaching. But of course, it was never as simple as that. But I kind of got stuck in England.
Okay, so turning to the virus, or should I say just before the virus, before it really started to affect us all.
I was going out for tandem rides about twice a week with a friend who who started as a tandem cycling volunteer, became a friend, and you know, so I would get my exercise in the fresh air on the tandem. I had quite a lot of meetings with the board or subcommittees of the board of the charity, which is Dial West Cheshire. So that was happening sort of, you know, maybe once or twice a week. I would go out quite a lot to the shops or to the odd local hostelry as well, which is always nice to do. Some rail travel as well, you know, to visit friends or to attend meetings in other towns and cities. But, you know, it involved quite a lot of socialising. So there's been quite a change in that respect recently.
How has the change affected you? Obviously, like most of us now, the instruction is to stay at home where and when possible. So your life, like many others, has stopped.
It's very much home-based, of course. Fortunately, obviously, we have the internet. I'm lucky enough to have ways and means to get books online. Oh, I forgot my choir. I go to choir as well. And obviously that's been suspended now as well. And I think what's worse for blind people like me is that a lot of services have completely closed down. And that goes from the availability of online supermarket slots to, you know, other shops, you know, to shops like in town. If I wanted to go and, you know, get something in town, which is what I usually do on a fairly regular basis, maybe every couple of weeks I might go into town.
For many people, obviously, now it means isolation, and that obviously includes us as visually impaired people. How are you finding that?
Well, I suppose it's early days, and it's only really recently started that we have to be quite isolated. At the moment, I'm all right. I suppose I'm lucky that I'm not on my own, that Phil and I live here together in this house, and we've got plenty of space in the house so we can hang around in different environments in the house. So you don't have to be, I mean, I dread to think that if I only had one room to be in, how that would affect me in terms of feeling trapped and isolated. Also, in terms of the isolation, we actually received a little note through our door, which came from a lady who lives in our street. And it basically said that they're a group of people who have got together to set up a bit of a help scheme for our street for those who need help, either because they're vulnerable, elderly, disabled, they can't get out of the house, or for people who have to self-isolate. So we scanned the note with one of our iPhone apps and found out the phone number of this lady, and texted her. And then 2 days later, we got the same note through our letterbox in Braille. And we were quite impressed that, you know, you wouldn't normally expect that. And obviously these are volunteers. So I phoned this lady at the weekend and talked to her. And I've since then been on their WhatsApp group, and they've given us all like a help card that we can put in our window if we need any help. And if we do, then they'll knock on our door and find out what it is. Either it could be help with shopping, getting something posted, picking up something from the chemist. So this lady, Claire, is sort of the contact point for this group and for sort of basically needs for help in this street. And I think that's really, really good, because it sort of, it makes you feel not quite so alone.
How did you feel when the note came through in Braille? I mean, that's extraordinary lengths for somebody to go to, particularly just a volunteer in the community.
And we were really, really impressed and really, really chuffed and pleased about it. That's why I actually decided to phone her. I'm not sure that, you know, Phil texted her before, but I thought, well, I really want to phone her and speak to her, because I thought that was so, impressive and so thoughtful. I mean, obviously, it might have been that we'd been two blind people who didn't read Braille, but I think it was quite a fair assumption that, you know, two blind people use canes and guide dogs, that, you know, we might be Braille users.
In terms of shopping, what experiences have you had so far?
I went to the local shops yesterday and it was fine. They have now basically changed to only letting a few people into the shop. What I now do is, if I want a number of different fruit and veg, I'll phone our local greengrocers, and I did that yesterday morning, tell them what I need. So when I come in, they don't have to go around with me and get all the things, but, you know, they can, you know, get it together, or I can wait somewhere near the till or something and they can go around and get the stuff. They are well stocked. Also, the butchers, local butchers, is well stocked. So, for the time being, we haven't had any problems getting supplies. I can't, of course, get any online slots for supermarkets, but at the moment, I've kind of given up on that, and I'm just going to rely on local shops. And when we run out of toilet roll, then I will just have to send one of my friends to Aldi's or some other place. I mean, I offered some help myself as well. So I said to Claire that, you know, if there's any phone calls that anyone needs, just to check up on them, that they're okay and have a bit of a kind word. And she actually put me in touch with a registered blind lady who lives not very far from here in the same street. And I phoned her this morning, and she is, you know, she's in her 80s. She's looking after her husband, who's terminally ill and also visually impaired. And she's not having an easy time. And it just brought it home to me that, you know, if you can't go out at all, in quotes, normal circumstances, it's even harder now, because people can't come into you either. I mean, they're struggling with the carers that come in and district nurses that come in. They don't have any time to clean up or to tidy up. And obviously for this lady who can't see, it's very difficult when things get moved and, you know.
How did that blind lady react when she knew she was being called by another visually impaired lady?
She knew me, actually. I remembered then, because I met her a year or two ago in the street with her rehabilitation worker. She was, I think she was doing a little bit of mobility around the block with our local rehabilitation officer. And we did have a little chat, and she remembered me from then, which was really nice, actually. So she was quite chuffed. And in fact, because you don't always know how that pans out, but she said that she was really glad that somebody called her who kind of understood her situation as a visually impaired person.
In terms of shopping, if you did have to go to a supermarket for something that you just couldn't find anywhere else, how would you feel about being guided by a sighted person? Because obviously that involves fairly close contact.
I'd personally be fine, because for me, it's a balance between doing what we need to do in terms of avoiding to get the virus with the need for something. If you really need something, if you otherwise run out of essential food. As a blind person, I feel that, I mean, even when I went into the local shops yesterday, the lady in the greengrocer still had to kind of guide my arm to where I hovered my card over the contactless payment machine.
In terms of occupying yourself, one of the things that we are allowed to do is go out and take exercise. You've got a guide dog. Are you taking him out for walks and exercise?
I take him mainly out to walks to the, for walks to the shops, but Phil actually took him out yesterday for a free run. So we kind of share it out. And I think we are also allowed to take him out for a free run together because we live in the same household. So I would have thought that, you know, that will be okay as well.
And what about social distancing when you're walking? Is that something that concerns you? Or again, is it just something that you can't really avoid?
I do my best. I rely mostly on the other people who see me or come in contact with me to do the social distancing for me. If I can hear, I will do my best to keep, you know, far enough away from a person.
Thinking about when you're at home and obviously not really able to go out apart from the things we've discussed, how are you occupying yourself? What is available for visually impaired people to keep busy?
I have still have some work to do for the organisation that I'm on the board of. So a lot of it can be done electronically, that I have to work on some policies and do some reading. So we can do that. Fortunately, when we have access to computers and phones, there's a lot of stuff that can be done online. I have some Braille books still waiting to read, and we've got the radio to listen to. I get some books from the German Talking Book Library. I haven't used the new RNIB service, you know, the download service for Talking Books yet, but I'm sure that will come.
What advice would you have to give to other visually impaired people who are maybe thinking about this lockdown and, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? How am I going to fill my time?
I'd say if you have something that you've been meaning to do or learn or pick up for a while, now is a good time to do it. I mean, even if it's like, I've heard from some people who've started decluttering their house or doing a bit of decorating in the house. For me, I think it's variety. I like to, you know, have plenty of reading to do, plenty of stuff to kind of, you know, music, reading, some films.
Final question then. Do you think you'll survive the lockdown? Do you think after however many weeks it is, 3, 6, 9, 12, do you think you'll emerge the other side okay, or do you think you'll be tearing your hair out?
I think I'll be okay.